Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, we're back for the second episode in our It's Time for Relationships series. This week, we're hanging out with another fellow podcaster, Audra Haney. Audra is the host of the 5-Minute Mom podcast, and she is one of my favorite resources for quick and sound encouragement. This is another conversation that was recorded in early March at the beginning of quarantine. At one point, I say, when this airs, I hope we're all past it. Oh, sweet hopeful Jeanette, 2020 is just continuing to rock your little world. I love that Audra is here to speak into motherhood, and she brings up the verse in James that's just such a solid reminder for all of us moms who feel like we're lacking wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." Audra and I talk about this and all things foster care and adoption and how we see God's love for us in these sweet kiddos' lives. Y'all are going to love this conversation with my friend Audra. So grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. Today is a little bit crazy. It's a little bit different, but I'm so thankful for a little bit of normalcy in my schedule, which is just interviewing friends from all over the world. Today I have Audra Haney with me. Audra is the host of the podcast 5-Minute Mom, and I'm just so excited because Audra and I have been friends on Instagram for a while, and now we finally get to chat in real life on screens.
Yes.
From a safe distance, right?
I love it. And just speaking of friends, like fellow podcasters to me, I have such a soft spot for them because I'm like, those are my people. Like they understand my day and my heart and my work. And I love just when I see women step up and use their voice because it is a little bit vulnerable. And so I've loved following you and connecting with you. So thank you so much for having me on.
This is so much fun. And I feel the same about you. What you do and bring moms out to the light is so encouraging. And you've had some really great episodes and guests. And man, it really is like there's like this sisterhood within podcasting, within like our podcasting group, which I just love. So I think it's one thing that we don't compete, but we are definitely one another's like cheerleaders. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And I was looking at some statistics recently, too, that like most people who listen to podcasts listen to like at least 7 a week. And, you know, I think that sheds some light, too, on like, man, there's so much love to go around and that we're all complimenting each other with like the message of the gospel and encouragement. And so I just think it's a really, really fun time.
I agree. So first, Audra, before we like totally get into it, what's in your cup?
I'm so boring today. I just have water, but I will be honest. I went down for a LaCroix, a hibiscus LaCroix, a new flavor for us, but my 6-year-old is stealing them. And so we're all, I don't know what 6-year-old likes LaCroix. So I'm just watered today, but that's what would have been in my cup.
Sounds good. My kids are into the bubbly waters now.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bubbly, but probably less. I just feel like, why would a 6-year-old like a LaCroix? I don't know.
That's so funny. I have just a regular cup of coffee, which is just kind of a treat this morning. My whole family's out camping and I came home. And so I like snuck out of the camper before they were all awake and I showered and made a cup of coffee. So I feel like I'm cheating a little bit.
It's like a retreat when you've been camping. That's amazing.
So nice. Okay, Audra, tell us all a little bit about you and what you do.
So I love to encourage moms. I have been in media really since college, and I went and got my broadcast journalism degree, and I worked for several different companies, the main one being the Christian Broadcasting Network. So I've just been interviewing and producing testimonies for them for really the last 12 years. I still work for them on the side. But once I had my kids, it really rocked my world. Because I was always career minded and career driven and had a plan for that. And I knew I wanted children, but I really wasn't prepared for how that would just turn my world upside down. And I felt like it was an area where I really needed spiritual encouragement and an area where I really needed to be mentored by other women and poured into. And so I really, I started working for a children's book company called Graham Blanchard, and they asked me to start a podcast. And I did a little mini series for them. And when I was done, I was hooked. I was like, I loved using all the gifts that God has developed in me over the last few decades, just to encourage moms. And those were my people. And so part of it is selfish. I learned so much from the guests that I have on, but also I just, really what keeps me going is just getting messages every week from moms saying, wow, that impacted me and that changed my parenting, or that gave me the, you know, little bit of encouragement I needed at that exact moment. And I think that can only be God. Mm-hmm. You know, I can sit here behind this mic all day long, but only God can really meet someone in their car or their laundry room and bring them the encouragement that they need. So I'm so humbled and grateful to be a part of what he's doing, speaking into people's lives.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's so sweet because it's just, I had a friend recently just kind of pull me aside and she's like, I'm just so proud of you. And I was like, thank you so much. That means the world to me. But I'm just doing with a little what God has given me. Like, I'm just trying to be faithful with the little bit that I've got. I'm just trying to, you know, use my gifts and just be out there. And I think when we do that, like you said, when we just share what's on our heart, or when we get to, it is like, this is such a selfish gig because I get to sit and have coffee with people all the time.
I know.
And I get even to benefit.
Yeah. And even in those weak moments where I'll look at my husband, which happens more than I wish it did, mm-hmm. but I'll look at my husband and go, what am I doing? I'm spending so much energy and time, and why am I doing this? And he'll say, if for nothing else, like the way that it's enriched our own parenting has been worth it. But we know that he's literally taking it across the world, which is just almost silly to me. I'm like, it's not glamorous, really behind the scenes, but he's using a simple offering and taking it all over the world. And I'm so humbled by that.
And I think, like we said, we're kind of in a weird time right now. We're like in the beginning stage of this coronavirus pandemic. And the one thing that we get to still do is produce podcasts, and we still get to show up and mm-hmm. be a little bit of normalcy in people's earbuds, because life is only going to get crazier, I think, the more we climb this pandemic a little bit. And I've just thought, like, I've wrestled with this, honestly, and I know that hopefully by the time this airs, we'll be past it, but you can hear mm-hmm. my heart a little bit more, where I say, like, I was like, maybe I should just stop producing content right now. Maybe we just need mm-hmm. to all, like, be focused in on our families. And I was like, no, my friends need to be able to put headphones in and fold laundry and have coffee with my friends and, like, be a little bit of escape. And so I was like, no, we're going to keep pressing on, because I think when it comes down to it, this is spiritual warfare. I really believe it. And I was telling a friend last night, I was laying in bed and I was like, Lord, where are you? And I just kept hearing, if the people who are called by my name would humble themselves and, you know, repent from their wicked ways, I will forgive them and I will heal their land. And I was like, okay, heal our land, Lord. Like, let's go.
Yes.
So that's why I was like, okay, we're just going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful. We're going to press on, and we're going to do hard things from our homes.
Exactly. And I think what makes it so unique in this time of history is every other thing, global crisis. I think back to 9/11 because I'm kind of an older mom. So I was in college in 9/11. But what we intuitively want to do in times of suffering is gather. Mm-hmm. And that is what is so hard about this, I think. Our DNA as the church is to gather and to find our strength in the body. And now we feel isolated. And I think that's exactly why we have to keep going and using the technology that God has given us for good, to really dissolve some fear, to keep us focused on Christ. And I believe that church is going to come out of this so revived. I was in tears watching our church online, and my husband's the executive pastor of our church, but we all had to stay home, and they did an online service, and I was in tears at how I've taken for granted our ability to gather.
Yep.
And the people that I didn't get a hug from or didn't get to pray over or get prayer from that day. And I thought, Lord, forgive me because I've so taken your body for granted.
That's so beautiful. It's so true. I told my daughter, hey, we can't hug people. Like, mm-hmm. and I was real harsh about it. Like, you yeah. may not hug our friends. Like, you cannot. Mm-hmm. You will be in timeout. And if you fight with me, we'll take your iPad. Like, really, like forceful with it. Like, no. And she's like, but I just want to hug people. I'm like,
it's
I know.
So hard.
I know.
Well, I had to have a quick meeting with just three or four friends last night, and I sent them a text beforehand, and I said, if I don't tell you this before we meet, I will give in, and I will give you a hug. So I cannot hug you. My dad's actually having a surgery today, and I really want to be able to see him soon, and I don't want to get quarantined. So yes. I was like, I love you, and I'm dying to hug you.
It's
so
fun.
I have to send you this text beforehand so you won't tempt me.
Yes, and so our best friend, he didn't know I had this conversation with her, and he walked up and like gave her a little squeeze, and she's like, no. Well, okay. And so he was like, she told me no, that she would get it. I was like, oh, that's, she's being obedient. That's really good.
Yeah, it is a really weird time. It's hard. It just goes against everything we know and we love. It's so hard.
It's weird. Your podcast, the 5-Minute Mom podcast, you do a balance of like quick devotionals, 5 minutes, and mm-hmm. then interviews, which last more than 5 minutes, because if you could interview someone in 5 minutes, you would be a superhero.
Yeah, I don't think we could pull that off.
Your podcast is all about helping moms find their identity and their purpose in motherhood. Is this something that you found yourself struggling with as you entered motherhood? Because I know you said you were pretty career focused. So did this stem from your experience?
Yeah, it was exactly. And I think what's really beautiful about the Lord is he just takes seasons sometimes with our greatest pain or struggles, and he redeems that and uses it to help other people. And that's exactly what he's done for me. I mean, most of the topics that I covered in my, you know, when I launched the first 5 or so, really the first 10 episodes were just issues that I've always struggled with as a mom. Comparison, fear, just finding our, like, being intentional and seeing motherhood the way God sees it. It is such a hidden job, a hidden calling. And I think especially in today's visual culture, we can be very discouraged at how hidden the call is. And yet, you know, just looking to what God says about motherhood, looking at mothers in the past of, you know, I have an episode on Susanna Wesley and just her life and raising the Wesley brothers, who brought the greatest revival, you know, to England and the world, and had a very direct impact on abolishing slavery. But she died unknown and poor, and very few people, no one knew who she was in her time. But her call was just to homeschool and to disciple her children. And so I am really passionate about helping moms see the importance of what they're doing. Because I think in today's culture, we put a lot of importance on, you know, what looks great, what looks glamorous, what's seen, what the numbers are. You know, and I think moms are losing, maybe their vision and their encouragement for what they're doing.
I think so. And I think if you're not seen, then you should hustle. Like, you should pick up a side hustle. But if you're not getting the recognition that you think you deserve within your home, then you should seek that somewhere else. And I think that's a really dangerous message that we subliminally get or just outright get.
Yeah. And it's not so much about like, do you work or do you not work, or do you homeschool or do you not homeschool? It's where you're getting your affirmation from. Mm. And because I'm a work from home mom, I've been a full-time working mom. I've been a part-time go into the office mom. I've had a season of just being with my kids. But I think what it boils down to in all of those seasons is, where am I getting my affirmation from? Whose approval am I looking to? And I think if we don't look to Christ, we're going to miss this beautiful opportunity to disciple the little people in front of us that are literally going to be world changers, for the good or the not so good, maybe, or, you know, or they'll walk around in empathy, or just knowing that what we're doing has, ripple effects through eternity. And those little seeds we're planting every day are adding up to big, big fruit for our world. And so it's not so much, you know, the role of if you're working or not working, but how you're viewing that and where you're getting your approval from.
Yeah, I agree. How do we change that mindset? Like, because you can say, like, just turn to God. But, like, what are practical ways that we can say, like, I'm going to seek my who I am and believe it in my heart? How do we change that? How do we do that?
Obviously, you know, the word, which is huge. And I think praying for a love for the word. And I think sometimes we're like, oh, be in the word, but we're burnt out, or we don't really see the, you know, we say we see the value in it, but then we put so many other things ahead of it. And I think when we look at the word and we see the stories of God's saints, you know, I just heard an interview not too long ago on a podcast with Addison Brevere, which is John and Lisa Brevere's son. And he was talking about how we're saints. And, you know, we call ourselves, quote, Christians, but that's maybe a phrase that's used just a couple of times in the gospel. But, you know, Christ and Paul, they identify us as saints. Mm-hmm. And so when we can look to the word and see stories of God's faithfulness to the saints, maybe in their hidden seasons, maybe in their small jobs, are there, you know, not glamorous roles, then we can draw encouragement from how God works. We can see over and over again how God works. And then on top of that, I am a big believer in biographies. It gives us so much perspective. Like, we as a family are reading, like, through Corrie Ten Boom's biography right now, because we're walking through a time of suffering in our world, and it's putting it in perspective of how do we let God work in and through us when the world is suffering. So I'm a big believer in, as a mom, putting those stories in your heart of Susanna Wesley, Corrie Ten Boom, these moms, if you can find biographies of faithful moms, I mean, that is going to encourage you so very much. And then I'm also a very big believer. My podcast listeners probably get tired of me, like, reciting James 1:5. That James 1:5 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, let them go to God and he'll lavish it on us. And we have to ask in faith, but God wants to give us tailor-made wisdom for our parenting. And I think we look to the blogs and we look to the podcast for those specific answers, or we look to books, but how often are we getting on our knees and saying, God, do I homeschool? Do I send my kid to a private school or a public school? God, what is that? What is this choice that we need to make as a family? God wants to instill that in you, because every family has a unique call. Every family has a unique DNA and a unique way that God wants to use in the world. So if we look around and compare, or we look at, you know, the popular opinion of the day, we're gonna miss so much that God has for us.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a little bit about our story real quick. Some of our listeners know, but so we have our two big boys, and then Zoe's adopted from Africa, and she's deaf, and so we are a signing family. We do all of these things, but her school journey looks so different than our boys, and so she goes to school during the week at, like, in Austin. So she, like, I drop her off on Sunday night, I make up her bed, I make up her room, and then I come home and I leave my daughter entrusted to people I trust, but I also leave. And it's such a weird thing. And when we were making that decision, it was the, like, but this isn't normal. Like, this is no other adopted family that I know in my sphere says, like, I prayed you home, I wanted you so bad, now go to boarding school.
Exactly.
So weird. But it was, like, a very, very thoughtful, prayed out decision of, like, God, what is best for this child's education, for her to grow into the woman that we know you have called her to be? What do we do here? And I was just speaking to a mops group, and then I told them, like, bravery is sacrifice. Like, to be brave, we have to open hand. And if we will parent with open hands, bravely, then we will raise the next generation to be the bravest generation to come.
Absolutely. And I talk all the time about how our faithfulness to and our choosing faithfulness over fear, because like when you're describing that to me, I can imagine all the fear that
Oh,
would come
yeah.
along with that. But I'm constantly reminded of how, we take that story of Joshua and Caleb and the spies, and we're like, oh, they were the two faithful ones. Well, when Joshua and Caleb come back and tell everyone we can defeat the giants, the Israelites' first response is, oh, those giants will kill our wives and our children. Their top excuse was family. But what we see a few chapters later is that Joshua and Caleb's descendants get the very best land. And so there was a direct impact of their faith on their children. And so I say all the time that when I choose faith over fear, I'm directly impacting the spiritual inheritance of my kids. They're going to be able to inherit the best spiritual land that God has for them, the best calling, and I'm setting them up for a really rich inheritance. And so I think sometimes we're guarding them or we're protecting them. But I think when we obey God, we can see that we're actually rewarding them through our courage and our bravery and our faith.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Denison Ministries. Denison Ministries is a movement creating 7 million culture-changing Christians who are committed to carrying out the truth of the gospel to their sphere of influence through a variety of ways, which is why Denison Ministries is excited about sponsoring what God is up to on the It's Time for Coffee podcast. One of the cool ways Denison Ministry has helped Christians feel closer to God is through their First 15 devotional. Verse 15 is designed to help you spend the first 15 minutes of your day experiencing God through meaningful devotion, scripture, worship, and prayer. You can sign up and get the first 15 email devotional sent directly to your inbox at first15.org/subscribe or start your day off with the First 15 devotional podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. You guys have stepped into something super brave this past year, and that's foster care.
Yes.
How did you guys... Like, I believe it's a calling. I don't believe that everybody should just jump and do it. I think that it's a
No.
very specific thing.
Yes.
As one adoptive mom to a foster care mom, it
Yes.
is not easy. Tell me a little bit about like how you started into the foster care journey.
Yeah, that it's such a crazy story. And I think this perfectly highlights James 1:5, like asking God, can you please give me that specific wisdom for this thing? We always thought we would be we would adopt internationally. That was my husband. We talked about that on one of our very early dates, and we laughed because he was like, I cannot marry you if you do not want to adopt. And I'm like, well, same to you, buddy. Like, because it was pretty early on. I was like, wow, that was a pretty intense conversation. So we just always assumed that we would adopt internationally. My husband and I are really involved in international missions, and so we thought we've got this. We've known a lot of families have adopted internationally. So we, after our youngest biological daughter was a little over a year old, we were like, we feel like it's time. Let's go to that informational meeting and let's kick off the process. Here we go. And it was the strangest thing. We went to that meeting. And nothing seemed to fit. It just was like, why does this feel so, clunky or so like we're forcing it? And so we left and we were kind of like, what do we do now? That was strange. And it seemed like from that day on, everywhere we went, God was just stalking me, saying I would have a conversation at a park or a play place for Chick-fil-A or a neighbor or a good friend from church. But everywhere I went, God was saying, did you know that the county you live in is the number one county for opioid exposed babies in the nation? And there's so many kids in foster care that there's not enough beds for them and they're sleeping in the social workers' offices. And some little backstory on this. I told my husband for years and years, I will adopt, but I'll never foster.
I said the same thing.
I'll never do that. I'll never. And I tell people, you know, God's not one to punish us when we say never, but he's so good in our ignorance, in our limited vision, to say, I'm going to keep inviting you into this, even though you've said never. And so, long story short, we went on a retreat for our anniversary. That was in October, and we went on a hike, and we just prayed, God, you are being relentless about this. If this is from you, we need you to make it very clear, because this is a messy calling. This is a hard calling, and we need to know it is from you. And that night at dinner, I sat next to this beautiful lady, and I said, what do you do for a living? And she said, oh, I'm the head of Tennessee Kids Belong. Did you know there are thousands of kids in the foster care system in the state of Tennessee? And, you know, just had tears in my eyes, because he's so faithful to give us those, you know, monuments, those pillars where we can look back and when it gets hard and say, you met us there. You met us there, and you made it very clear that we were called to this. And then the next step was like, well, let's just look up training. You know, where's training? When's the next training? And the next training was held at our church where we're on staff in like a little basement area. So we were like, well, that's pretty clear too. And so what's really cool is the little boy that we have in our home now, he was born in July, and we did the math, and almost to the day that he was in his mother's womb was the day that we were hiking, almost to the day, 9 months before. And so, you know, to me, when I said no to foster care, it was saying no to an inconvenient situation, something that could possibly make me grieve or sad. Yeah. Hurt me. But now it's a little person, and he's amazing and so worth it. And I'm just so grateful that God kept inviting me into that.
That's so sweet. I love that. It's God's goodness in all reality, because it's, when I look at the broken system and the orphan crisis and all of these things, it's not about us anymore. It's about the children.
Yeah, it's so true.
And it's not like God's like, hey, this was my plan A. Like, this is a good thing for these kids. It's like, no, this was never the plan. This is plan like G. Like, God's desire is for our families to be together. But we live in a very broken and fallen world. And as believers, we get the calling and the privilege to love and share Christ with these kids that come from such broken places. I mean, like, I could get on a very high horse about about the orphan crisis, because it is something I'm so passionate about, something I love so much. It's something we've seen firsthand, and as our daughter has settled into our home, just the beauty of God's just love for her and her her safety is just really, really cool. So, before I get emotional, I love that you guys are doing that. Do you have hopes to adopt him?
Well, we are in the waiting game now. Okay. We do hope to adopt him. And what I'll say is that when we got into it, God really did an amazing thing. I always said I would never foster, because I felt like reunification would be very hard. Yeah. And so God just did a work in my heart as a mom with children to say, man, if we get this child and get the opportunity to love on this child, and the bio parents reach a point of healing where they're able to reunite with their child, what a beautiful thing to celebrate.
Yeah, what redemption.
And yes, I will grieve. And yes, but I have been given love and care and a foundation in Christ my entire life.
Yeah.
So if I have to grieve, God will be in the grieving process with me.
Yeah.
But it will have been worth it for this child and this family. And so currently where we're at is that, you know, we are looking, we meet with his bio parents weekly for visitation. But it looks like, you know, possibly in the near future, we won't be able to reunite, but they are definitely going to be a part of our life. And that has really opened up a whole new mission field for us. Yeah. You know, not too long. I love international missions. It was a part of my heart before I even met my husband. He was a missions pastor. And the other day, I was walking into the DCS office and had this thought of like, I miss international missions. It's something that I've had to scale back on with young kids. And I just felt the Lord speak to me and say, this is no less of a mission field.
Yeah.
And it has opened us up to a whole new group of people in our community. It's sometimes being on a church staff, his biological parents are the only non-believers that we're around all week. And it has been a great joy to get to know them and minister to them. And so what I would say to someone who's afraid to step out into foster care because of reunification is that God is there. Yeah. He's in the whole process, whether you adopt or you reunite. And I think if we project into the future without God, there's a lot of fear.
Yeah.
I think if we take that leap and say, no matter what this looks like, God is going to be present and close and real and heal and lead and guide. It's not as scary as it could be.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think that there's hope either way. Right. And that's life as a believer. There's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope for the child. There's hope for the family. There's hope for your family. One of the things that we used to just kind of grieve over was, Lord, are we messing up our kids? Are we going to wreck our biological kids? And then I would have that moment of like, Lord, wreck them. Do it. Like, I don't want my kids to live in this picture perfect family where we have never had anything hard. I was like, wreck them, Jesus, do it. Like,
and that's a beautiful prayer. Yeah. And we have seen our daughters flourish.
Yes.
And we've had more spiritual conversations with them than we would have ever had. And to be able to talk about, brokenness and hardship, and to be able to pray with, they've seen God answer very specific prayers through this journey. And again, I think it goes back to, are you choosing fear or spiritual inheritance for your kids?
Yep. And I think it's really cool because our boys are, they're little. I mean, they're old. They're almost 14 and almost 12. But to hear them talk about like, well, someday when I get married, I'll probably adopt. Like,
yes,
to say, to open up that gateway where it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is just what we do. This is normal. This is, mm-hmm. if God calls it to you, like, please do it. And, I love that. I just love that it's, it's spiritual inheritance because we're saying like, because we did this, you can do this too. Like, God will equip you every step of the way and will help you. So
it's so true. Yeah. He's so good to meet us right in the middle of it.
Absolutely. Okay, Audrey, we are nearing the end of the episode, which is so sad because I really enjoyed
it. I could talk all day.
I know. We might have to do this more often if we're like stuck in quarantine. We just won't so record true. It. Okay. Who or what is your guilty pleasure social media follow?
Oh my goodness. This is such a guilty pleasure. I love influencers in the wild right now. I think it cracks me up because, you know, we're kind of in this space where we have to use our social media for business or to share our content. And so it is just, to me, you know, I look around and I really don't love social media. I would be super happy podcasting and not ever getting on Instagram, but it just cracks me up because our society has taken it a little too far. So
funny. It's so funny. The Influencer of the Wild page cracks me up, especially when he was like, find the target girl. Like, that was, I like spent so much time reading the comments. Like, I need to do that.
The comments are hilarious, but also like they went from like 0 to 1 million followers in like 2 weeks, I think, or something like that, because it's so fascinating to people watch. That's what you're doing. You're people watching.
Well, and it's who is not doing the things that those people are doing? Like,
it's so true.
There's so many times where I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody could have totally got a picture of me doing that.
So true. Yes.
When you're out and about, what's your coffee order?
Vanilla latte. Isn't that just, I'm like, just classic. This is not exciting at all, but I love it. I can't change it up.
It's really good. I've recently switched over to lavender lattes.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Really good. I make them here at the house too. They're really good.
I was just telling my husband, I needed an espresso machine. Like, once you graduate from two kids to three, like, just the regular coffee doesn't do anymore. I need the espresso to, like, really get going.
That's what we have. And it was a birthday gift last year. And our rule has been, if we can make it at home, we're not allowed to buy it out.
That's good.
Yeah, so you save money and pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is something you've read, watched, or heard lately that you're obsessed with?
Okay, I am so obsessed with, and I grabbed the book. Oh, here it is. So it is by a book by David Kinnaman, and he co-wrote it with Mark Matlock. So it's called Faith for Exiles. And I don't know if you've heard of the Barna Research Group, but they do a lot of study, like, within the Christian community. They do a lot of research on really the next generation. And this book, so they've written a couple of books about why people leave the church, why young people leave the church. This one is so encouraging because Faith for Exiles is why five ways to keep young people from leaving the church. And they studied young people that have stayed within the church. And it is so fascinating, but also encouraging. And I love that God has provided, like, this resource for me while my kids are young, you know, and most of them are really small shifts in our thinking or parenting or how we're pouring into them spiritually. And so I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. That's really good. My dad's a pastor, and he was just in town over Christmas, and he was telling me, he was like, he's been doing more research at keeping the millennials engaged in church, and he's in a very older denomination church. And so he was saying, like, we had you guys in church every time the doors are open. And as a pastor's family, that was what our job was.
Yes.
But he's like, but you go to church less than we took you. And I'm like, oh yeah, for sure. And he's like, but your kids are going to go to church less than you take them. And I was like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, no. So
yeah, it's really good. It's, you know, and I think it's more of just a mindset change of, like, what does it look like to pour into them spiritually? And it really hit them on a heart issue that lasts. And so it's been a real encouragement to me.
Audra, where can we find you? Where can we listen to the 5 Minute Mom podcast? How can we connect with you outside of this podcast today?
Sure. So my website is just audrahaney.com, and there's a link to the podcast on there, but you can also find it. It's on Apple Podcast and Spotify and any of your favorite apps for Android. And then I'm on Instagram. I love Instagram. It's like a happy place. So I'm usually there at just the _5MinuteMom_podcast.
Perfect. So. Audra, thanks so much for hanging out today. This was a nice little bit of normalcy.
It was. In our weirdness. I loved it. Yes.
I just wanted to end today's conversation with the verse that Audra brought up, James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you, and he will not rebuke you for asking. Y'all, if you need wisdom in any way, shape, or form, ask the Lord. He cares for you, and he will not rebuke you or shame you for asking and reaching out to him. No, he will give you wisdom. He longs to lean in and give you the wisdom that you need. So, if you need wisdom, ask the Lord. He's got you. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.